After our Catch a Vision Day, you get excited about 2022, don't you? And our theme for next year involving helping and assisting those individuals who are in need in our world, especially those individuals who are lost. But this year is not done. We still have a couple more months of 2021. And Oceanside has a theme for this year, and we need to stay focused on that theme until the conclusion of this year, if at all possible. Our theme at Oceanside for 2021 is very simply, seeking higher ground in 2021. Over the course of this year, each month, I've tried to present a lesson that revolves around our theme for the year, and we're going to continue that this morning. And our title this morning very simply is this, Seeking Higher Ground in Hope. We've got 4 points that we're going to be looking at with regard to this particular lesson. Folks, the Christian life and hope are intricately tied one to another. There are many passages in the New Testament that talk about our hope. The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 13:13, "Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity." The Apostle Paul gives us a list of the 7 ones in Ephesians 4. 4 through 6. And I find it interesting that one of those ones is our one hope. There is one body and one spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, through all, and in you all. Notice that third one. He says we have one hope of our calling. In Ephesians 1, verse 18, the Apostle Paul is praying for the church at Ephesus. And part of his prayer is that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. And one of the things that he wanted them to understand is this, that ye may know the hope of your calling. Now think about that. Here is an inspired apostle of Jesus Christ. And he goes before the throne of God and he prays fervently for his brethren. And one of the things that he desires is for them to know the hope of their calling. You look up that little word, know, and it means to be aware of, to understand, to perceive. It involves the idea of being able to see it very, very clearly and appreciate all the facets that are there. Folks, it is one thing to verbalize hope. It is an entirely different matter to know our hope. You see, if I were to ask any one of us, do you have hope as a Christian? Oh yes, I have hope. But what does that truly mean? What does that truly involve? Those are the things that we want to talk about in the course of this lesson. Before we go there though, notice point number 2. No hope is a sad condition. The Apostle Paul talks about individuals who have no hope in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. He's writing to the church, but he is talking about the dead. And listen to what he says. "But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep." In other words, those who are dead. Now listen to what he says. "That ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope." Now Paul is writing to the church. He's writing to first century Christians. And he's telling them, you have hope. And I don't want you to sorrow, but there are some individuals in the world who need to sorrow. And the reason they need to sorrow is because they have no hope whatsoever. Isn't that a sad condition? I want us for a moment or two to look at some words found in Scripture and then a statement that was made of individuals who didn't have hope. Remember a man by the name of Job? In Job 7, verse 6, Job writes the following, "My days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle," now listen to this, "and are spent without hope." Wow. Here is a man who's been inflicted with what we believe to be was leprosy. Boils were on his body from the top of his head to the very bottom of his feet. His countenance, his body had changed so drastically because of the affliction that he suffered that when his friends got to him, they did not immediately recognize him. There was constant pain, not only on the outside of the body, but into the very bone itself. His skin burned. His skin itched profusely. And those boils would bleed with pus. And there he sat on an ash heap with absolutely no cure in sight. Not only had he been physically afflicted, but he had also lost everything that he had he not? All of his flocks, all of his herds, and even 10 of his children. And he sits there on that ash heap, and he lifts up his voice and he says, "My days are spent without hope." Folks, that's a sad condition, isn't it? We turn to the pages of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul is on a merchant ship heading to the city of Rome, and they are traveling through the Mediterranean Sea, and a storm, a Euroclydon, arises on that sea. And it's not for a day, it's not for 2 days, it's not for 3 days. This particular storm impacts that ship for the entirety of 2 weeks. And notice what Paul says. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. I've been on a couple of ships out in the ocean, and I can't imagine getting into a hurricane type situation on those ships. The storm was so bad that they let go of the rudder and they just allowed the ship to do whatever it wanted to do. They were doing everything they could possibly do to save their lives. They were throwing food overboard, supplies overboard, anything they could find to make the weight of that ship as light as they could make it. And the time finally came when they said, "All hope that we should be saved is lost." Can you imagine being on a ship and all of a sudden there comes an announcement over the intercom? Folks, there's not going to be one soul who survives this shipwreck. Not one. Everyone on this boat is destined to death. That is a sad situation, isn't it? The next statement that I'm about to read to you involves a suicide note that was written by a young individual. I want you to listen to what they say. "I can't swim any longer. I can't breathe. I have been trying so hard, but the waves are pulling me under." Now listen to this next point. "And I think I'll let them." Can you imagine walking in on a family member, finding them dead, and reading that note? Folks, that is hopelessness, isn't it? See, we talk about individuals living a life without hope. We're talking about a sad, sad condition. And there are millions and millions of people in our world who are living lives without hope. Now, there's a lot of causes for hopelessness. One is this: individuals who are overcome with mental anguish and depression. Another is individuals that are trapped in a sea of problems and in a sea of difficulties, and they think that there's absolutely nothing that can be done to get out of those problems. We find individuals who are hopeless because they believe that tomorrow will be just like today. And today was just like yesterday, and yesterday was just like the day before. There is no hope if these are the kind of days that I'm going to spend. There are individuals who are hopeless because they've been pushed aside by those individuals who love them dearly, those individuals who ought to accept those individuals. There are individuals in our world who are hopeless because they are unable to overcome the lies that they believe about themselves. You've been taught from a young age that you are horrible, that you are bad. You got a bad look at your outward self and your inward self, and there's nothing I can do about it. Notice this one. Individuals oftentimes focus on the negative and just do not have the ability to look and see the blessings that surround them. A failure to reveal one's extreme burdens to someone else. Sometimes people are proud, aren't they? I'm struggling, I'm desperate, I'm down and out, I need help, but guess what? I just can't tell anybody. I've known individuals who have committed suicide and nobody knew that anything was wrong until the medicine was taken or the trigger was pulled or they found them dangling at the end of a rope. Folks, those are sad conditions, aren't they? There's some individuals that see the hardship that they are either about to put on another or that they are putting upon another individual. The very first work I ever preached at was in Eastland, Texas. An elderly man there was diagnosed with a terminal illness. The doctor told him that as you go through this illness, it's going to get worse and there's going to be a lot of pain and there's going to be a lot of care that you're going to have to receive from others. And rather than suffering that, he pulled the trigger. He didn't want to have to put that on other individuals to take care of him. And folks, a false belief that death is better than living. You see, there's some people who believe if I can just escape the problems of this world, if I can just die here, then everything will be much better over there. And yet, for some, their spiritual awareness is not very great, is it? Folks, without hope, there are a lot of bad things that happen. Depression, low energy. There's very little time for fun. Individuals begin to grumble and gripe and complain. There's no production. Individuals begin to involve themselves in the worldly affairs of this life, thinking that those kind of things are going to make them better, and there may even be possible death. Here's something that's interesting. Did you know that entire congregations of the Lord's people can develop hopelessness? It's true. And the very things that can happen to individuals can happen to congregations. If we look out and we don't think as a congregation that there's any hope for us, then what happens to us? The same thing here. We become depressed. There's low energy. We begin to fight and grumble and complain among ourselves. There's no production. Individuals involve themselves in worldly pursuits, and if we are not careful, the congregation can die. Aren't you glad that we serve a God who has given us great hope? Great hope. And in this third point, I want us to talk about some of the aspects of hope. Number one, hope is an unseen reality. That's what Paul writes in Romans 8, verse 24. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For if we hope for that we see, why doth he yet hope for? You see, if we already possess something, we don't hope for it, do we? A couple of months, there's going to be Christmas. And you know what kids are doing right now? Hoping. Aren't they? What do you want for Christmas? And they got a list 20 miles long. But right now, they can only see it through their mind's eye. They don't have it. It's not in their possession, is it? It's not something that they can actually see, but it's their hope. Hope is an unseen reality. Number two, hope is a delayed reward, isn't it? A delayed reward. The Bible talks about that in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12. Hope deferred maketh the heart sick, but when the desire cometh, what happens? It is a tree of life. About the end of February, farmers start getting ready to put those crops in the ground, don't they? Temperatures start to warm up just a little bit. They get those tractors out. They start tilling up that ground. Finally, they start planting that seed. And they work and they work and they work sometimes till late hours of the night. Now they have tractors with lights on them. They can work till 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning if need be. Folks, that's not fun, is it? But you see, they're not looking at what they're doing right now. It's hard. It's difficult. They're looking down the road, aren't they, to their hope. The reward is coming later. The reward will come in October. The reward will come in November when harvest comes. Hope is a delayed reward. Number three, hope is a promise that is fulfilled later. Paul writes to us in Titus 1 verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Is there such a thing as eternal life? Oh yes. Think about that. You and I can live forever and ever and ever. But folks, guess what? You don't have it right now. How do I know that? Number one, because hope is what? Not seen. Hope is not something I have right now. Hope is a what? Hope right now is a promise to us. That hope of eternal life is a promise, and it will be fulfilled, but it's going to be fulfilled later, isn't it? Fourthly, hope is sure, and hope is steadfast. Now remember, we're talking about Bible hope. We're talking about the hope that God gives us. Notice what Paul writes in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast. Does a farmer always reap a bumper crop? No. There's times when drought comes. There's times when there's infestation of insects. There's times when the crops get infections. And at the end of the year, they're looking for their hope, and yet their hope never comes. It's never fulfilled. You see, their hope is what? Not sure and steadfast, but guess what? Ours is. Folks, there's absolutely no doubt that our hope will come to fruition. Watch this next point. Hope lies in another world. Another world. Isn't that something? One of our problems today, especially living in the United States of America, is that we are much too loving of our present world. We've got it made, don't we? Got everything we need. Self-sufficient, independent, never have to hunger. Life is wonderful. We've got all the blessings that you could possibly imagine. But folks, this world's not our hope. Our hope lies where? In another world. Remember a while ago we talked about eternal life? Folks, eternal life lies in another world. How do I know that? Because Jesus said it. He was talking to His disciples on one occasion. And yes, He talks about the blessings they had now. Notice what He says. Right now, if you're My disciple, if you're following Me, ye shall receive what? 100-fold, He said. In this time, right now, there are blessings to the Christian life. And He lists some of them. Houses, brethren, sisters, mothers, children, land with persecutions. But listen to what He says. And in the world to come, eternal life. Folks, as long as you live in this world, you will never have eternal life. The only way you're going to get that life is to go to another world. And it is a world that is yet to come, isn't it? Another part of our hope. Hope's a motivator. If you have hope, folks, you're going to see an individual who is energized to do a bunch of things. And we could preach an entire lesson on that one point. Hope causes us to trust. Romans 4, verse 18. Hope causes us to work. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 10. Hope causes us to become pure individuals. 1 John 3, verse 3. Hope causes us to have courage, according to Proverbs 31, verse 24. And hope also enables us to endure, according to the psalmist in Psalm 16:9. We could preach a whole lesson on that, couldn't we? Here we are, we're individuals looking for something to come. It's not ours yet, but we know it's there, we know it's sure, we know it's steadfast, and it causes us to be a certain kind of people right now. What a blessing our hope is. The Bible says also that our hope produces joy within us. Rejoicing in hope. You see, we're not like those individuals who are down and depressed. Oh yes, life may be hard. Life might get a little difficult. Life might throw us some curveballs. We may have to suck on a few lemons from time to time, but guess what? I'll never, ever lose my joy if I truly possess Bible hope. And I rejoice in that hope, don't I? I find it too that hope is comfort in death. Over the last 2 years, death has really been highlighted, hasn't it? It's amazing to me. We went through 2 world wars. And folks, there was death every day. Wasn't there? Every day, families were being notified about their family members who had died in those wars. And yet, we did not possess the fear of death then like we do now. Everybody runs around just scared to die. I'm going to die. Folks, the Bible says that you and I have hope in death. Remember a while ago, we talked about Paul mentioning those individuals who have no hope in death. And those are the people that we need to be crying for. Folks, there's billions of people who are dying who don't have any hope. That's the ones to cry for. If you're faithful, if you're a Christian, don't cry for us. Because we have hope in death, don't we? Notice what Paul says. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus shall God bring with Him. Death is not the end for those individuals. When Jesus Christ comes the second time, guess who He's bringing with Him? He's bringing with Him those dead saints. Wouldn't it be wonderful to be riding on a cloud of glory when Jesus comes back? Sounds pretty fun to me. We don't have anything to fear just because we die. That's part of our hope, isn't it? Now the question is this. What is hope? What is it really? And not only what is it, but how do we acquire it? Folks, that second part of this is another whole lesson. Did you know that? But let's start with what is hope. Most define it like this. Hope is desire coupled with expectation. We've had a good wet summer, haven't we, for the most part. Every time you turned around, it was raining. Sometimes you had to cut your grass every day. Not quite that often. I have cut it twice a week this summer, though. But over the last 2 or 3 weeks, guess what? It's starting to get dry, isn't it? My yard's starting to look a little bit brown in some spots. And you know what? I hope it rains. But that ain't a Bible hope. What I mean by that is this. I desire for it to rain, but guess what? I don't expect to. You don't know why I looked at the forecast. But yet I'll say all day, boy, I hope it rains, I hope it rains, I hope it rains. That's not Bible hope. Folks, Bible hope is a desire plus what? Expectation. We desire the things God has promised. Not only do we desire them, guess what? We expect to have them one of these days. Desire plus expectation is hope. Now, when I define the word hope, I like to add a little bit more to it, folks. I believe that hope is a deep desire and an earnest expectation of things to come. I've seen people desire something, haven't you? But not very much, haven't you? I've seen individuals who expected something, but it wasn't an earnest expectation. Folks, you and I ought to deeply desire the things that are a part of our hope. And we ought to earnestly expect those things that are going to come. Now the question is, how do you acquire a strong hope? Again, I told you this is an entire lesson. We'll come back to this one of these days. Number one, folks, you must trust who God is, especially that He's trustworthy. You go on the internet now and you find a website and you're going to order a product. Are you assured you're going to get that product? We may even possess hope, might we? I desire it and I expect it. Went online not long ago to order a product. Thought I was getting a steal. When that product came in, I about croaked. Wasn't anything like the product that was advertised. You see, some companies out there are not what? They are not trustworthy. God says, I'm going to give to you eternal life. I'm going to give you a place called heaven. Folks, I can bank on that hope. Because God is what? God is trustworthy, isn't He? Notice secondly, we must drink deeply from the wells of God's holy and divine Word to find out what is our hope. You know that? I need to understand exactly what God has to say about those things. One of these days, Victor Eskew is going to have a new body. Can't wait for that. Can you? A glorified body, folks. The Bible says that body is going to be just like the body that Jesus has right now. Immortal, incorruptible. But you see, I don't know all those things until I do what? Until I look deeply into the Scripture. Number three, we must get our focus off this world and think on the things of the next world. Got to do that, folks. How about this one? We've got to remember that we are triune beings. By that I mean we are composed of flesh, soul, and spirit. Only one third of you is flesh. Only one third of you is physical in nature. The other two parts are spiritual in nature. And yet, I'm more concerned about the physical than I am the spiritual. Spend more money on the physical than I do the spiritual. Take care of the physical more than I do the spiritual. Now, I've got to remember who I am. I'm a spiritual being. And I need to focus on that. Folks, we've got to keep in mind that we're finite, aren't we? I don't care what you do, how much good food you eat, how much balance of nature pills you take, how many treadmills you run on, how many gyms you attend, how much stuff you put on your face, how much oil you rub all over you, even essential oil. I don't care. You're going to die one of these days, aren't you? Yeah, but Vic, I'll be 120. Well, so what? You're still going to die? And ain't nobody going to know who you are because you live too long. Folks, I got to remember, I am not going to live forever. I am going to die. And then what? Who gives a rip about what you did in this life? Who cares? Hardly anybody's going to remember. It probably isn't even going to be written on your tombstone what you did. They're just going to write on there, R.I.P. Rip. They don't even spell it out. It's amazing, isn't it? Your life is going to consist of a little dash on that tombstone. Everything you did in life is right there in a little dash. Your date of birth and your date of death is more important on that tombstone than your entirety of your life. It's just a little dash. But boy, we think life's important, don't we? Folks, I got to be ready for death. I'm not going to live forever. Notice this next one. We need to surround ourselves with other people who possess a strong hope, don't we? That's why the church is so essential. That's why you need to be faithful, dedicated members of the church and not separate yourself away from it. You need to be around people who are always thinking, always longing for that hope, don't you? And folks, listen to me. Every day, you and I need to get up thinking about all the things involved in our hope. The second coming of Jesus. Can you imagine setting your eyes on the Christ, the Son of the living God, your elder brother, but yet the Son of God who redeemed you from all iniquity, being able to talk with Him, fellowship with Him, what a blessing. You're going to come up out of that grave and you're just going to shake the dust off. I'm alive again. Never, ever to die again. You're going to be lifted out of this world and you're going to be transported into a beautiful place called heaven, a place that you cannot fathom, folks. And you will live there forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what we need to be focused on, don't we? Why? Why do I want to acquire a strong hope? Let's go all the way back to Romans 8, 24. Look how Paul starts that verse. For we are saved by hope. Isn't that interesting? Why do I live a faithful, dedicated Christian life? You see, that's part of being saved, isn't it? Why do we do that? We do that because we know there's a hope at the end of this life. What if you took all that away? What if there was nothing there at the end of our Christian life? There's no heaven. There's no resurrection from the dead. There's no second coming. There's no new body. What if there's none of that out there? I might as well just live like the world, hadn't I? But you see, because I know those things are there, I live the way I'm supposed to now so that I can be saved. As I was reading some passages of Scripture about hope, there were two in the Old Testament that were interesting. One of them is Job 14:7. Notice what the text says. For there is hope of a tree. Have you ever heard that? For there is hope of a tree. If it is cut down, that it will what? Sprout again. And notice, and that the tender branch will not cease. There at the preacher's house, there's a big bush on the left-hand side of the house as you look at it. The roots were starting to grow under the foundation. Every time we had somebody come out and inspect for termites and other things, they'd say, you got to get that bush cut off that roof some. Things get in that roof if you're not careful. So we just finally cut it down. 7 stumps in there I dug out. Thought I was going to die. Thought I had it all taken care of. About a month ago, Kathleen comes running and you got to get rid of that bush. I said, what bush? That bush on the side of the house. I said, I did. I cut it out. No. There's a little sprout sticking up. About that long. And it was just as green and bushy as it could be. Guess what, folks? There's hope of a tree. That even if you cut it down, what? It will sprout again. One of the reasons my dad hated mimosa trees. You can't kill them nasty things. And you cut it down, you have 100 pop up. He's about right. Folks, we have hope as Christians. You can cut us down, but guess what? We will sprout again, won't we? And then there's a passage in Psalm 71 verse 14. Listen to what the psalmist says. But I will hope what? Continually. And I will praise Thee forever and ever, more and more. Wow. Folks, because of the hope God's given us, we should long to come and praise His holy and divine name. It's not work to come to services. It's an honor. Because I know there's something better beyond this life that God's given us. 2 kinds of people in the world, as far as spiritual things are concerned. People with hope and people without it. If you obey the precious gospel of Christ and you're faithful till death, folks, there is a hope sure and steadfast awaiting you in the hereafter. But if not, you'll perish. And we'll cry because you died without hope. Which group do you fall in today? Do you need to obey the gospel? The steps are simple. Hear the truth, believe in the Christ, repent of sins, confess His precious name, and be immersed for the forgiveness of sins. Dear Christian, are you living like you got hope? If not, we ask you to repent of your sins, confess them, ask God to forgive you. You need to respond as together we stand and sing.